Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah, I'm the music major.
To Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host with the most, Leah Killing. Some call me Dr. Happy, some call me whatever you want to call me, amen, just as long as it's a dollar, God. I am just so excited on tonight because, for several reasons, and I know I say this every week, but praise God, there is a significance to tonight. Tonight is the last day I will be 53. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I will be starting a new chapter in life, a new chapter that's going to be amazing because I have so many things to share, and I'll do that at the end. But praise God, I just wanted to make sure that I share. I had to change it up a little bit because praise God, sometimes we got to praise him in the middle of it. And so I needed to get something else in my spirit. I know whenever Jesus says yes, nobody can say no is my normal opening song. And we'll be back to that next week. But praise God, I wanted to change it up on tonight. But praise God, welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm very excited for those of you that are brand new to the broadcast. So if this is your very first time listening in or tuning in, praise God for you. We're on every Monday night at 9 p.m., and that's 8 o'clock if you're on Central Standard Time. I know I have some people on that time zone. And then praise God, if you're on the other time zone, praise God for you too. Make sure you mark your calendars down so that you can make sure that you tune in and on time. I also make sure that I give a warm greeting and a super greeting to those of you that have been with me for the past 7 years. Can you believe that? We're moving into 8. Oh, it's just amazing the things that God will do for you when you're faithful and you're committed. And so I'm grateful for you, because without your support, without your prayers, without your wisdom, without your comments and all the things that you do to keep me encouraged and keep me empowered, praise God, it keeps me motivated to do what God's called me to do, and that is to teach and to share his gospel. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, none of this would be possible without three people, two earthly people, and, of course, my father upstairs. But praise God, we're going to save the two people on earth, and that is Jesse and Tammy Store and the Mega Ministry. We just thank God for their commitment to serve and to empower and to keep all of us focused and equipped to do what God has called us to do, and that is to share his gospel. They are perfect examples on how to make sure that you stay true to your calling. And so I always make sure that I give a shout out to them. And praise God, I'm grateful that I'm now able to remember to call their names out, because it's significant that we share when people are blessing us and doing things to encourage us to be what God has called us to be. So I'm grateful for them. Now, like I said, the biggest praise goes to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you even know it or not, he's all of our fathers, and he is the one that we always should give praise to. So I always give my thank yous for the people tuning in, and then I always start with a word of prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you boldly, thanking you and praising you for everything that you give, for your healing power, for your wisdom, for your love, for your forgiveness, for everything, Father. We can't even put our names and our minds to even surround. We just thank you, Father, for being what we need you to be. Most importantly, you are our shepherd. You are our Father. You are everything that we could possibly want, need, or even think of. When we know it, when we don't know it, we just thank you, Father, and give you all the praise. We thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. We thank you for being Jehovah Shammah. We thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, before being Jehovah Rafi. Just all the names that we don't even know how to pronounce, even, Father. We just thank you for being them, too. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us to experience you and to know you for ourselves. We thank you that your word says that we didn't choose you. You chose us. And so because you chose us and you loved us, you gave us so many resources for us to take advantage of. And that is your word, that is the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, the protection of the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, because without it, we wouldn't be able to do anything that mattered. And so we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to know you and to want to make you known. We thank you that we will recognize you are divine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear the fruit that will remain, because without you, Father, we can do absolutely positively nothing. So we thank you, Father, for this hour of power. We thank you, Father, that the word will go forth, that will be in good season, not just tonight, but tomorrow and next year and 2 years from now. And whenever somebody pulls this up, it'll be a fresh and rhema word for them. We thank you, Father, for Empowered to Change, because we are striving to encourage. We are striving to educate, and we are striving to empower so that we all will be equipped to do what you've called us all to do, and that is to prosper. And so I thank you, Father, for this, and I thank you for everyone that's listening. And if anyone has a problem or a challenge, Father, that is under my voice, including me, let us remember and know what we need to do to repent so that we always can come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. Forgive us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Now, have a couple of confessions to say first. First and foremost, I am not feeling my best. But praise God, I have always been able to press through and do what God has called me to do. And so my niece and my sister called me, and they was like, Leo, you should not be doing this. Do a recording. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I was like, Lord, if you can get me through, amen, I'm going to press forward, because, amen, I can't do anything without you. And so I am going to do the assignment that you call. And I'm doing this assignment mainly because, first and foremost, I am so grateful that God blessed me to see another year. I'm right. I hadn't got there yet, but in a couple of hours, I will. But he has blessed me with an amazing year, and I didn't want to miss my opportunity to at least speak on God's behalf, to share the goodness of God and why it's so important for us to be able to be dedicated and diligent soldiers for him, despite sometimes how we're feeling. Because, again, at least for me, I believe that my mission, my call, my ministry is not for me as much as it is for the people that God has called me to. And so if I can push for you, then praise God, you'll push for someone else. And so my granny's old church slogan, each one, reach one, I don't know if that's still their slogan, but I remember it as a child reading it on the walls behind the choir saying, each one, reach one, and that penetrated my heart and it meant something to me. And so if each one can reach one, then amen, we have done justice. And so praise God, I believe I've reached more than just one, but amen. I still want to reach as many as I can, amen. And so because tonight is my last night at 53, I wanted to make sure that I did it doing what God called me to do, and that is to share the gospel. And so the lesson that I'm sharing with you is a personal lesson. It's personal because I was trying to decide on what I wanted to talk about, and I knew kind of what I wanted to talk about on tonight because I believe that God has been really leaning me in that direction, because praise God, everything kind of lines up, and I love how it lines up. But I was torn a little bit because my heart is a little heavy. And my heart is heavy because I've been focusing too much on my heart being broken. And so I think sometimes we can get caught up with our hearts being broken, that it prevents us from moving forward. And so sometimes we allow our hearts to be broken because we're not doing the necessary things to keep our heart in the best condition so that it can't get broken. Now, there are times that we will have different conditions of our heart that are, and I'm not talking about physical, because we're going to talk about that in a second too, praise God, because I need to work on that too. But anyway, we're talking about our spiritual heart. And most of that is because we don't take the word of God as serious as we should. And I believe in my heart, because I'm so passionate about the word of God, and I'm so passionate about really telling God's story, because I really believe this word. This word has delivered me, has set me free, it's molded me, it saved me, it delivered. I mean, I can't express how much. I know some people have their thing with faith, and some people have their thing with the Holy Spirit, and some people have their thing with Jesus, and I mean, and it's great for all of them, but the word is, it's just because I believe, I literally believe everything in it, and there's nobody and no way anybody can convince me that it's not real. And so I've tried it, and God has made it true for me. And so because he's made it true for me, it is passionate for me to share those things. And so because I am a teacher and I like to break things down, I think it's because of my passion and my love and thirst for the word. And so on tonight, I want to do a little bit of reading. And so, amen. I'm not even going to claim that, because my other mentor told me that I am means God. And so I am going to be able to read. Amen. But just in case I need a little assistance, I have my daughter that claimed that she's going to help me a little bit. But praise God, I'm going to see what I can do, and we're going to go from there. But praise God, we're going to start from the book of Mark. And so, I love the way that God put the book together. I just got to do a little preview. One of the things that I think that I love most about the Bible is that none of us, and praise God, I'm focusing on getting my stuff together and sharing the books and things that God has placed in my heart to produce, and some of them I've already started and about to publish, and so I'm so excited about that. Praise God, I'm going to talk about that in a sec. But just being an author in general, when you're writing a book and you're putting words together and you're putting your thoughts on paper and you're trying to make sure that you don't plagiarize and steal somebody else's ideas and use other things and all the kind of stuff that comes to play, not just even writing a book, but when you're writing a paper for those of my babies that are in school, when you're writing papers, you want to make sure that you give credit to this author and that author and blah, 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 blah. And so there's a lot that goes into when you're preparing information. And so when I think about the Bible and I think about how all the books line up and how experiences and stories and prophecy and the mysteries, all of that lines up, and how at a time when there was no internet or Google or commentaries or concordances or spell check or even what is this, the things that they use that they could tell if you're plagiarizing and all that, now none of that was created then. And this book, this living book, is still relevant today as much as it was when it was written thousands of years ago. And so for people to discredit, I don't get it. It makes me numb that nobody really believes the Word of God. And sometimes I think that we take it for granted that God gave us this journal for us to map out our lives to really follow and live by. And if we did, then we wouldn't be afraid. We wouldn't contemplate. We wouldn't have so much anxiety. We would be able to actually make right choices. But because we have some doubt, some fears, some whatever word you want to put in there, fill in the gap for you, why you don't take this book seriously, I don't understand. And so when I was petitioning God why my heart was so broken and why I allowed the words and the actions and behaviors of people to hurt me, God reminded me was that, well, what are you filling your heart up with? Are you filling your heart up with my word, or are you allowing people to fill your heart? Are you allowing the elements of this environment to fill your heart? Is that why you're broken? Is that why you can't see the future? Is that why you can't see the gifts that you claim you read and believe? Is that why you're broken? Is that why you can't move forward? Is that why you're hindered? And so sometimes, and I honestly believe, that God allows certain things to come upon us so that we can stop and pause long enough for us to hear his word. Now, I had a conversation with a girlfriend, and I thought, you know, my mind is closed on certain things because I'm just not doing that no more. And God had to remind me, well, let's talk about that for a minute, because you claim you believe his word, but now you're making decisions on your own. You claim your favorite scripture is, I am the vine and you are a branch. Or have you flipped the script and made yourself the vine and I'm the branch and I'm supposed to follow and grow how you want me to grow? And so I had to be reminded. Well, Lord, for reminding me, but I need you to help me open my understanding in certain areas so that I can receive. And he says to me, as I'm going to say to you, you need to get in the word. And so tonight my challenge to you is to focus on the word. And so the scriptures that we're going through, and reason why I kind of had to do a backdrop, is because we're going to start with the chapter of Mark, and not the chapter, book of Mark, I'm sorry. And then I love how Matthew, Mark, Luke kind of complements each other. And so I do want to read a part of Luke just to make sure that we have the right foundation. And so, again, because we encourage, we educate, and we empower, sometimes the information that we share, we may have shared before, but praise God, we're praying that everyone gets a different insight or a different revelation like I did, because I ministered this chapter and didn't see what I saw on today. So let's go to Mark 4, those of us that have our word, and we will begin at verse 1, and that's Mark 4. And Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, and he sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow seed, and he was scattering the seeds. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root, others fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has an ear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 others around him, asked, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may ever seeing but not perceiving, and ever hearing but not understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven. So one of the coolest things, again, like I said, Matthew, Luke, and Mark have similar content. But I want to do Luke in just a second, but I want to finish this passage of scripture in Mark. I want to go ahead and read 13 to 20. Then it says, because it kind of gives a summary. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. And so the people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. And so it is heard. Satan comes and takes the word away that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. They quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100, and some 100 times what was sown. Now, praise God, that is a mouthful. But basically, what this passage of scripture talks about, the farmer, people being the farmer. And, of course, the seed being the people or whatever is being sown into. And so one of the coolest things about the word seed, when we talk about just in general, seeds are something that produces life of its kind. And so the first time I read this, I was really focused on making sure that when I taught this, that we understood that we were responsible for sowing the seed in the people and making sure that we teach the word and we share the word, blah, 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 blah. And making sure that the word gets in the hearts of the people. And then if it gets into the hearts of the people, that when the enemy comes, he doesn't snatch it out and all that good stuff. Well, sometimes I think we need to look a little deeper behind the scripture, because the Bible also says that the word is the seed is the word of God. And I think when I taught this message, I missed a valuable point, that when seed, if we see seed as a word, it has to get to the heart. It talked about, and I made reference and highlighted how much the distraction of what happens if the seed doesn't actually make it to the heart. But I didn't talk about the condition of the heart. And so tonight I want to focus a little bit more on the condition of the heart and why it's important when this seed is sown that it gets in your heart. Because I think a lot of times, again, why we don't take the word as serious as we should, because we're looking for the pastor or somebody or me or whoever you're listening to tell me a good word. But where is it going? If it's not going into your heart, then it is falling by the wayside, and the enemy will choke it up, and all the other things, the things of life, will choke it away from you. But think about it. Sometimes the word even said that when sometimes it will get in, but if you don't protect it or cultivate it in your heart, then praise God, then it can wither up and die too. We want to receive God's word and for it to be a permanent, lasting change in our hearts. And so in order for us to do that, we have to be willing. We have to do our part. And a lot of times, and not necessarily, we have to take the broad view of, I hear the word, it's in my heart now, and I'm going to manifest it. No, there are some steps in between that we have to be responsible for to actually make sure that that word actually penetrates into the heart. Again, we have so many different conditions of our heart. Some hearts are broken. Some hearts are wounded. Some hearts are contrite. Some hearts are sad. Some hearts are happy, praise God. And then most of the time, we're closed, and we're closed to certain things. And it was interesting how me and a friend of mine was talking about how we can say things and how some people can receive what we're saying because they have the heart of your heart to understand what you're saying. And so they can block out all the extra words, and they can block out the emotions and the feelings and really hear your heart. And then there's others that just take things at, you know, at topical value and keep it moving. And so how do we get to a point, especially those of us that claim that we love the Lord and that we want to love his people, how do we get to the point when we really listen to people, that we really listen to people and we hear not only what they're speaking, but what's coming from their heart? Because remember, the Bible says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to be careful for the words that we use. We have to be careful for how we say things, because we are planting seeds, because we're putting those words out there, and how we want them to manifest in the atmosphere is how we give them out. And so sometimes we have to be responsible. And so many times I take responsibility for things that I may have said that have been misguided or misunderstood. And that's why I have no problem apologizing or repenting soon. But I can't repent unless you tell me that I hurt you. And so, but if you tell me, I'm quick to apologize. I'm quick to try to make things right, because I know what is important and how your heart is important, because it affects so many other things. And because my heart has been affected by so many things, I try to guard my heart, because the Bible says that too, that we are to guard our hearts. Why do you think that God made it a point to even write that out to say? Because he knows that our hearts get broken because people say things. And it's so funny, I grew up with that crazy saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Whoever made that up, they lied. Words and names, they do hurt. And they hurt us to the quick, to the white meat, as they say. It hurts. It hurts sometimes worse than you hitting me with a rock or a stick, because they're lasting. They scar my heart. They scar all of our hearts, because words have power. They have meaning. So we have to be mindful of the things that we say. And we have to be mindful of the things that we receive. And that's why the Bible also tells us, when those things come and you know that they're not of the things of God, you cast them down immediately. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hold on to them and they take root in our heart and they choke out when we really need the word of God. Why is that? Because we're not guarding our hearts. Why is that? Because we're not meditating and reading and studying the things of God, so that when we do receive and that thing takes root, then we can receive the harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold. But we can't do that if we're heartbroken and wounded and got heart conditions and heart problems and all the things that we do, because we're not taking care of our hearts. So how do we take care of our hearts? Well, there's a couple ways. Well, the most important thing, before we go into that, I forgot. I wanted to make sure that I got Luke 8 in your hearing, because it was one of the things, like I said, that I lost focus. And one of the things that I want to focus and point out in this particular parable, because in the Mark parable, they gave the explanation about how it was the plant way to choke the seed out. But this one, it says in verse, I'm going to start with verse 14, because they're, like I said, they're fairly familiar. And that which fell amongst the thorns Oh, wait, let me go back up. I'm sorry. Number, starting with 11. Now, the parable of this, the seed is the word of God. Remember, I said the seed is the word of God. And the other parable, we talked about the farmer being the seed, but amen. So this one says, now the parable is this. The word, the seed is the word of God. Those that by the wayside will hear will come the devil and take it away, take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock they are, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for while they believe, and in time the temptation falls away. And they which fell amongst thorns are which when they hear, go forth, and they choke with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but sit it on the candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifested, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come about. Take heed therefore now, ye hearts, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemed to have. Now, I like this version because it makes it, at least for me, a little bit more applicable to where we are in today. How we allow the cares of this world to take away our riches and to take away our goodies that God has in store for us, because we're allowing the concerns of this life to choke his word out. You know, we know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but let's skip him, because most of the time it ain't even him that's preventing us from getting the word, is us. Amen. And so we have to be honest and, like it says, have good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Sometimes we are not waiting on God. And when the waiting and then the patience, we should be meditating on the things of God. But we don't take time to do that. Why? Because we ain't got time. We don't have time for God. I can read a couple minutes, and then, praise God, I got to be about my day. And so I was talking to someone not long ago and was trying to help them divide up their time for the day. And it was amazing to me how we were able to decide, if there's 24 hours in a day, and let's just say max, many of us maybe sleep 6, maybe 8, but 6 or less hours a day. So that leaves 18 hours in a day. And so on a good day, some of us may work 8 hours, 10 hours. And now, since, you know, we've had this pandemic, many of us ain't going actually to a job. But those of you that may be going, praise God, hallelujah for you. But let's just say 10 hours. So we still got 7 hours in a day. What are we doing with that? And we can't give but 5 minutes to God. That is scary to me, that we can even voice that, knowing that God woke you up, you got the job because he gave it to you, you were able to sleep, whether you slept in a bed or on the floor or on the couch, in a chair, wherever you slept, praise God, whether it was cold, warm, hot, whatever, air conditioning, heat, what, all those things still provided by God. And we can only find 5 minutes, 10, 15, maybe max for God. That is insane. But we do it. And why do we do it? Because we're allowing the cares of the world to take precedence over the things of God. And so we wonder why we're heartbroken. We wonder why we're confused and dismayed and don't know the plan that God has for us. I have a good brother that prays often. And so I often chuckle, because every time I'm talking, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I believe it, because I know he's praying, and he does and spends a lot of his time in prayer. Now, did he start that overnight? Probably not. But he's done it, and he's tried it enough that he makes time. He diligently seeks the things of God. And so because he does, he's walking in the things of God. He's prospering in the things of God. He's able to bless other people because he's doing the things that God has called him to do. Is it a simple process? For him, he'll say yes, because he makes the time and he's diligent. Should we be doing that? Absolutely. I believe that if we reevaluate And that's why I'm so grateful that God gave me this time to actually sit down to really reevaluate. Why is it that I have given my heart to so many people, thinking and believing I was giving my heart to these people because that's what God wanted me to do, and not really pursue what he told me to do for me? And so that's why I'm so grateful that God blessed me to be able to do this last broadcast at 53, because I have a renewed mind that I have to do the assignment that God calls me to do, not because I think that they are right or that they are good things to do. I have to do what God's called me to do for me and the things that God has assigned me to. One of the coolest things that I had heard years ago is when we stand before God, he's not going to have a special section for Prince and Madonna and Whitney Houston and Dave Chappelle and all these other people that we think are quote-unquote stars. And then he's not going to have another section for Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes. And we all going to be standing and having to give an account. And we're not going to be able to blame anybody for anything. Well, what had happened was, no, you're going to have to give an account for the things that God assigned you to do. So when he blesses you to be able to hear an inspiring word that is seed, you have to make a decision. What condition is my heart in to receive this word? Am I going to allow it to just kind of lay on the surface? Or am I going to write down and take it home and study it and penetrate on the word and meditate and study it and have it in my heart so that it takes root, so that I can see the manifestation from that word? Or am I just going to Sunday after Sunday just go to church because it's Sunday? Or praise God, now that we get to do it online, we can do whatever day we want to do. And so it was interesting. Me and my sister had a conversation about, oh, you know, I just discovered the Sabbath. And I said, baby girl, I try not to get caught up on semantics of stuff that people say anymore. We have the calendar that we use now. There was I think the word is Gregorian calendar. I mean, amen, we don't know nothing really. We just believe in what folks tell us at this point. So the Sabbath, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Monday? Is it Friday? At the end of the day, we are taking a day to recognize who God and who our Savior is. When you get caught up on the semantics, that's when you get into just the arguing and making the word not effect. Does it matter? I believe if Jesus said Saturday, he would have put Saturday in the Bible. If he wanted to be Sunday, he would have said Sunday. But whatever day it is, nevertheless to me, I'm going to treat him as God Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then I'm going to do it again. It doesn't matter what day it is. Now, I believe that there's a day that we should all rest because he did rest. And whatever day, that's between you and God. And we get too caught up on the semantics. It doesn't matter. Are you reading for yourself? Are you just arguing based on something somebody told you? That is the problem. That's why the word can be choked out of our hearts, because we're believing everything that people are saying and we're not reading the word for ourselves. We're not asking God to open up our hearts so that we can have an understanding for ourselves. It's whoever said this, oh, they have great confessions, so I'm going to listen to them this week, and whatever they say, I'm going for it. When God sometimes, again, this revelation word that I got from these scriptures, the farmer was the seed, and now God is saying the word is the seed. Amen. It's still both, but the revelation is different for me today because, praise God, I need a real word to guard my heart, and I need to know that I need to get the word in my heart. I don't care about no farmers. I don't care about no crops in the field, none of that. I just want Jesus and the word he gave me, praise God. And however he gives it to me, praise God, we can get caught up on all this stuff that doesn't really matter. Now, I mean, I'm not discrediting that the word says that the farmer, please hear me. Look, hear my heart, amen. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we get so caught up on stuff that doesn't really matter. What matters is, are you putting the word of God in your ears and in your mind, and so you can meditate on it so that the Holy Spirit can water it and make it meditate and get into your heart so it can take root. So that when you use your lips will speak the things of God. That is what's important. And so if we focus more on the things that God wants us to focus on, then I think our lives would reflect and we would live and we wouldn't be as heartbroken and we wouldn't be misled and be misguided if we follow the plan that God has for us. Now, am I saying that stuff on the internet and the things that we read is not good stuff? No, not at all. But you have to evaluate that and allow the word to be manifested and for you to take it a wonderful thing for all of us to have a house with a picket fence and what is it, 2.5 children, because that's the prime life of a successful family. What does God say? Amen. No, that may not be the plan for you. Your plan may be for you to just be single and just share the gospel. Your plan might be to have 12 children. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. I mean, there's so many different plans and paths that God has for all of us. But only you will know because you went to him. He is the master creator. He created the world for all of us. And if he is the creator and has the master plan, why wouldn't you go to the man that has the plan? You're going to go to Google? I mean, amen, Google has some good things, and God has blessed quite a few. I'm going to say us because my stuff's about to be on Google, so amen. But God has blessed many of us to be able to share some wise and wisdom things. But if you don't go to God for yourself, amen. I was told once that sometimes, even when ministers are given revelation, sometimes a revelation is not for everybody. It's just for that person. But sometimes because we're not completely listening to God and we're excited about the revelation, we tell it, but it's not for everybody. Amen. And so you got to know for yourself. So you can't take everybody's word. Please, please, please don't take my word. I mean, amen. When I say I love you, I do mean that. But praise God. When I'm talking about the things of the word, when it matters to you and your life, check it. Read the word for yourself. Because sometimes I may get nervous and skip a passage or read the words a couple times more than I should have because I skipped a line or read the same line. Whatever the case, if you got your Bible, read along with it to make sure that you get the proper revelation for yourself. Because that word is going in. That's why the Bible. And when people talk about you got to guard your heart, you guard your heart by protecting your ears and your eyes. Because those things, and what God gave us the five senses, how we see, taste, smell, sight, the five senses, amen. But those senses were given to us so that we could receive life and things that are go on in this system. And so when you protect your eyes and your ears and the things that you hear and you see and the things that you can smell and taste and touch, I got them. Anyway, you got to make sure that those are the things that are pleasing to you. It may not be pleasing to the next person, but it has to be pleasing to you because God knows your body. And God knows the things that you can handle and the things that you can handle. So you listen to him. So I probably can't watch a lot of pornography on TV and not be affected by it. I can't watch a bunch of scary movies. I probably can now, but praise God. There was a time I couldn't watch a bunch of scary movies on TV because it made me think about things that I had past issues with. And so somebody else can laugh at horror movies, but that's not me. You have to know to thy own self be true, not necessarily for the earth standards, but for your godly purpose and your walk. And so if you don't protect your heart, you don't protect your eyes and protect your ears. So many of these young people, old people too for that matter, I shouldn't say old, but seasoned people, I'll say that. All this music that we're listening to that we don't really think is really making an impact, but when you hear a song and you can remember, you can almost remember the date, what you had on, where you were standing, what the person that was with you, what they had on, what they smelled like. There's a reason for that. And so if all those things bring those things to your remembrance, can it acknowledge something that maybe something you need to die to, something that you need to cut out of your life so that you can move forward in the things of God? But we allow ourselves to be bombarded with, like the Bible says, by the cares of this world, the pleasures that we think are pleasures that prevent us from hearing and understanding God's word for what it means. And it chokes out promises that God has for us. So going back to what I was saying, how do you protect your heart? Well, there's quite a few ways. First and foremost, it was so interesting that God gave me the keys of the kingdom for the end of the year, the season that we talked about, and why it was important, because it is important. First and foremost, you got to protect your heart, because you want to always go before God with clean hands and a pure heart. Why does your heart have to be pure? It's important, because you don't want to go to God any kind of way. You want to make sure that you go to him clean. And so the only way that you can do that is by repenting and asking God to help you make sure that your heart is clean. So you want to make sure that you always go to God and you ask him to forgive you for the things that you've done, whether you've done them, it says omission or commission, praise God. However you do that, praise God, assess it. And when you're assessing it, you ask God, Lord, search my heart. You've heard people say, search my heart, Father. You want God to search your heart, because when you search your heart, allow him, and so that's why sometimes when we talk about prayer, that it has to be a two-way communication, because many times we're doing all the talking and we're not waiting for God to respond. We need for God to respond, and so he can tell you, these are some of the things that you've allowed your emotions to take over, and these are the things that you need to remove yourself from. These are some of the things that you're stuck in the past over that you need to let go. These are some of the things that you need to reevaluate. These are some of the people that you need to disconnect from. There's so many things that God can reveal when you ask him to examine your heart. And then when he examines them, again, if there are things that you need to repent from, praise God, repent, so that he can heal your heart. Because praise God, some of those things can damage our heart. And so it's only God. You know, we have physicians for our physical heart that go in and assess the damage. For our spiritual heart, we need God to go in and assess the damage. Sometimes we have an understanding of what we've allowed in to damage or hurt our hearts, but many times we don't always know, and we got to ask God to assess our hearts. And then, praise God, once we've assessed our hearts and we've allowed, we've asked God to forgive us, then you got to let the love come in. And sometimes it's hard. I know it is for me. Especially when I was younger, I didn't too much care for affection and all that. It was like, whoa, kissing and hugging. But I've learned to appreciate it, because it gives me an opportunity to feel love. And so when my heart needs to be repaired, how can it be repaired unless I allow people in? I have to allow people inside my heart. My problem was I just let too many people in, praise God. And so now God had to teach me that there's an outer court, there's an inner court, and there's a holiest of holiest. And then I keep forgetting that I tell my babies when I teach my classes, there's a parking lot for a reason. Some folks don't even deserve to even be in the inner court. They need to stay in the parking lot. Amen. But you have your parking lot, you have your inner court, your outer court, inner court, and the holiest of holiest. The only people that deserve to be in your holiest of holiest is your parents and spouses, and praise God, I hate to even say sometimes, depending on the relationships with your parents, you want to make sure if you have godly parents that they're, praise God, in the inners of inners. But those are the people in your children. Amen. Everybody else is questionable, whether you have them in the inners and whether you have them in your outer courts, because they still are part of your heart. They just don't get to the parts where they can really cause and kind of damage, break your heart. Now, people always say sometimes that your children can break your heart. We say that, but it's not broken. It's just hard for us to let them go at times. But praise God, there are times that they can do things that can cause us to be weary. Amen. But at the end of the day, you let them in because you can't help it. That love, you can't erase, you can't take away. So they're in there. Praise God, you just have to learn how to tolerate whatever they do. Amen. But that's another story. But praise God, assess who the people you have when you let love come in. So first, you got to make sure that you assess the damage and allow God to do that. Then you allow the people that God wants for you to enter into those parts, to flood your hearts with love. Allow him to let those parts come in. And then praise God, one of the things, and probably even in an assessment, is, you know, allowing pride. You got to die to your pride. You got to die to our beliefs and what we believe. I believe that such and such and such don't believe, and so I don't allow them to listen. You got to be open to the voice of God. And then you got to make sure, I can't stress this enough, you have to nourish your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. You have to nourish them. Your emotions, not so much because, praise God, they can get you in trouble, but your mind and your will, all of them have to line up with the things of God. And when you allow them to line up with the things of God, they will guide you into all of God's truth. Outside of that, praise God, you will you'll be steered in another direction where, again, you can be broken and you can cause damage in your life, and it can prevent you from doing the things that God has called you to do. And praise God, it could prevent you from allowing your seed, the word, when it does come, to penetrate and to really be nourished and to grow. And so those are the things that you want to do to make sure that you guard your heart. Now, how do you keep and water your soil once that good word goes in? Again, you gotta pray, and you gotta read God's word. And then you gotta constantly have those things of God before you, whether it's confessions, whether it's listening to podcasts, or there's TV ministry. I mean, there's so many things to feed your spirit. Better yet, read the word and read it out loud so your ears can hear. I love the word where it says, be hearers of the words, but we also got to be doers. So we got to do something with that. Now my heart is full with love. Share it. Give. Do something to help someone else. There are so many people that are broken and wounded. And the unfortunate thing is that there's so many people that are broken and wounded that you see every day that are the life of the room and the life of the party, but they're broken. But now if we're doing the things that God called us to do, then we'll see those things because we'll be able to now operate in discernment because God has revealed those things to us, so we'll know what to say and how to say them. And that helps us to be effective doers of his word. Now, I could keep going and I could keep going, but praise God, I'm looking at my time and I'm realizing I got a lot of talk, but I'm out of time. And so I want to make sure that I renew all of us into thinking, because today is my final day at 53, I wanted to make sure that I challenge each of you on my day that to reassess where your heart is. Because like I said, I've been walking around with a broken heart and didn't realize that it was broken, mainly because I haven't been penetrating enough word. And as much word as I read, I'm like, Lord, but I read every day, all day, most of the time. But I wasn't allowing the things to come out that needed to be out. I had it in a compartment in my heart where I call myself, what do they call it? I just have it locked in a file. God wants to remove those things that are hurting you out of your heart so that you can have a clean heart. He wants to be able to allow us to move forward. Like I said, I don't necessarily believe in New Year's resolutions as much as I believe in when you notice a change, change it. You don't have to wait for the new year to come. You know, praise God, my birthday's tomorrow, so I'm going to be able to make a change tomorrow. But praise God, it wasn't because it was my birthday. It just happened to be around my birthday that I was able to kind of focus. But I need to do something different. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to keep putting myself in situations where I keep getting heartbroken. And so God said, well, you got to look to me then. Stop trying to be divine and really believe the scripture that you claim you believe. And so my challenge to each of you is to really understand the word, to really understand that the word, it says in Luke, it says that the word, that the seed is the word of God. Allow the right seeds to go into your heart and allow the right thoughts to be meditated in your mind, because those things go to your heart. It is a direct connection to your heart. And so that's the water. And so it trickles down. And so if you want your heart to be strong, you want your heart to be right, you don't want to have a heart attack or have high blood pressure, spiritually, praise God, then you got to take the right medicine. And the right medicine is the word. You got to plant the right things in your heart. So you got to guard your heart like the word says. And you got to cast down those things that try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And when the enemy comes to choke out your seed, you tell him to back up. The coolest thing, I was telling somebody the other day, they was like, I just don't know what to say. And I'm like, well, I think I read somewhere that Jesus, at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. So praise God, you ain't got to worry about a whole bunch of scriptures. Now if God tells you to do that after you get, you know, into whatever you do, studying and believing, praise God. But at the beginning and the end, amen, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. So Jesus, and believe that with your heart, amen, they will back up, amen. And so you got to get in the word. You got to plant the right seed. And so when you do that, then praise God, you will have a harvest. Amen. 30, 60, and 100 times more than you could think or imagine. And we're not even talking about our 30, 60, and 100. We're talking about God's 30, 60. I mean, 30 is overwhelming for God. Are you kidding me? I want the 100. But praise God, I'll be happy with the 30 of God's 30. So we got to do what we're supposed to do. And let your mind, will, and emotions be lined up with the things of God. And plant your heart with the right seeds. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that you've been blessed by this broadcast, by this lesson. And next week, I'll be 54 and on a new chapter, praise God. So make sure that you tune in. Like I said, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I always, always, always try to close the broadcast out with a special dedication to my granny, because, praise God, she is my number one listener, and I know she's always listening. And praise God, she's moving on to 95. Amen. And so I think it's 95. Yeah, if I get to 54, she'll be 95. Yep. So praise God. We're excited for her to reach another milestone to be 95. Praise God. And so, Granny, I know you're listening, so I'm going to play your song. Every praise belongs to him, because it really does. And I want to thank my sister for listening in, and my niece, praise God, that they were concerned about me. But see, God's amazing. He does what he needs to do. I do have time for one caller. If you press 1, if you dialed in, you can hear your comment. We can hear your comment or your question. But if not, praise God, we'll reserve it for next week. And then next week, I'll be able to tell you some new and exciting things, because my heart is not broken anymore. Amen. We're moving the men and moving the things of God. So again, make sure that you always, always, always start your day with prayer. Always pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. And I probably should add to that, make sure that you read the word, that you give God some time. Spend time with God in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. I promise you that you'll be glad that you did. Amen. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful week. And if I must say happy birthday to myself, amen, happy birthday. And I thank y'all for tuning in. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Come on, everybody, sing hallelujah.
future.